14. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and grace. We just appreciate what you've given us, what you've done for us. We thank you for allowing Clinton and Jenny to go down and preach for Brother Sam, and then Jason is preaching at Victory Baptist and the family there, and they'd be here. And Lord, again, we just thank you for the different ministries that you've given us. We appreciate it, and Lord, that you would allow us to be used to help in these ministries, and we thank you for that. Lord, we again pray now for tonight that we got your book open, Lord, that you'll teach us something out of your word tonight, and we'll thank you for it. In thy name we pray. Amen. Clinton did call, and just as I was getting, he says, "I'm tired." He says, "We're all shot." I said, "Yeah, I said, "I understand." He sounded like he was tired, and so yeah. But they said it went pretty good and enjoyed it. So, amen. All right, we're going to read verse 1-4. Like I say, we're going to actually do verse 6 and 7, and there's a lot of stuff in these verses, and so we're just going to give a lot of stuff. But verse 1, chapter 14, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now, we taught on this morning. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth, means that they're in heaven at this time. We talked about this as 144,000 at this time, so we can see where this is coming in at. It's the last part of the tribulation. They were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for the virgins. These are they which followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And we went over this morning and looked at about that first fruits that it's talking about, and that first fruits over in James, it talks about the first fruits, and it's talking about the 144,000 Jews that'll be preaching the gospel during the tribulation, and then they're taken up in a rapture. So again, these are supernaturally saved in the tribulation, and which are called the first fruits are the 144,000, because they were the first to get saved in the tribulation. They were saved for the tribulation, in the tribulation, to go out and witness to Jews and Gentiles during that time. And we looked at the book of James, where we saw the first fruits show up. And, of course, the book of James is written to the 12 tribes that scattered abroad, which are the Jews. Paul writes Paul writes every book, one of his books, from Romans to Philemon, because he's the apostle to the Gentile. And every one of them books tells us that salvation is grace through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, right? And that you can't lose it. That's from Romans to Philemon. Then why would God change the plan of salvation at the book of Hebrews? Well, and that's where we're at in the morning, that we taught on this morning, in the book of Hebrews. Well, why would God change the plan of salvation for the book of Hebrews? Because you're dealing with Jews. A couple of verses in the Bible that everybody ought to know and understand is Genesis 3:15. And that talks, it's the first place that talks about Christ and the seed of God and the seed of the devil. And then the next one is Romans 11:25. And it says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And so when at the rapture of the church, and by the way, in chapter 14 of Revelation, we've been in heaven for 3.5 years, at least 3.5 years, the church, okay? So what's he doing? He's dealing with the Jews. The tribulation is for the Jewish people mainly, okay? But there'll be Gentiles that'll be getting saved. And so then after the catching up of his body, the rapture into glory, that will start the tribulation. And we can find that in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Then God will start dealing with the chosen people again. Over in the book of Jeremiah, it's called Jacob's trouble. Well, who's Jacob? It's Israel, okay? That's in Jeremiah 30, I think, verse 7. God will pick up and start dealing with his people, Israel, right where he left off. And that is dealing with faith and works. Now, in the Old Testament, it was faith and works. When you sinned, you had to offer up a sacrifice. Okay, and that whatever God said that sacrifice was, you had to offer it up. And by faith, you believed that sacrifice covered your sins. It didn't take them away. And that's what we were talking about this morning. When Jesus Christ died, he paid the debt for all of them Old Testament sins, okay, and for our sins. So, again, he's going to go back at the start of the tribulation dealing with the Jews. And look at verse in Revelation 14, look at verse 5. And in their mouth, let's pick back up in 14, the middle of the verse there. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile. Who? This 144,000. For they are without fault before God, without fault before the throne of God. Now, so there's no guile in these. Where are they at now? They're in heaven. And so the simple fact of there won't be any lying in heaven. We've always, when we was growing up and everything, lying was a pretty bad thing. And we were just always taught, if you lie, you're a thief. And I'll bet that's just the way it was. But I'll tell you what, I've been around some millennials. That's their first nature, is to lie. I don't mean their second nature. They would rather lie than tell the truth. No, not all of them. But I'll tell you what, and of course, lying is for what? It's from the devil. He's the father of it. But there'll be no guile or there'll be no lying in heaven. That'd be good. And so, and now when we get to chapter six, verse 6, we're going to get into a strange verse. And so look at verse 6. Now we're still talking about that what's going on there. For they are without fault before the throne of God. That's 144,000 Jews. And then he says, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. So John is seeing this angel flying around in heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Now John is seeing this thing. And so now remember, there was 144,000 that was preaching, right? But they're in heaven now. And so now there's nobody on earth, and I don't know how long, that's preaching. So all of a sudden, here comes this angel. And he's flying around through heaven and through the earth here, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and every kindred and tongue and people. Man, you're talking about loud. I mean, now think about this. This is an angel flying around all over the world. It just says one of them, and he's preaching the everlasting gospel. That's going to spook a bunch of people. I mean, can you imagine this thing? I mean, it's really got to be wild. Now let me ask you. Now he says an everlasting gospel. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you ever was driving around and with your car window down and some big angel comes flying across preaching it didn't happen, and you're not going to see it happen. I mean, you may in when we're in heaven and see. But think about that thing. That man, and he's preaching the ever. You haven't seen that because it's not going to happen during this time, okay? But it will here, and that's for sure. And you haven't seen it for 2,000 years. And look at chapter 15 of Revelation and verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels. Not one, but seven of them flying around now. Having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. So now notice you had 144,000 Jews on this earth preaching the gospel. Now, it wasn't the gospel that we preach, but it was a gospel. And then they're taken up, and now you got an angel flying around that's preaching a gospel. And right after that, in chapter 15, boom, it hits again. Okay? Destruction. And so God always warns people before destruction comes. That's just the way it is. And so that's a wild thing. See, if you were to see an angel, that would be what? It would be pretty scary, probably, but it would be signs and wonders and miracles. And according to the Bible, signs and wonders are for who? The Jews. In 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign, and angels were a sign to the Jews. God is not dealing with the Jews now, but he will be during the tribulation. Who's he dealing with now? Well, he's dealing with everybody. And if a Jew gets saved today, he gets saved just the way a Gentile does. He repents and believes the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and asks Christ to save him, and he's saved. But that's not the case. In the tribulation, he's going to be dealing mainly with the Jews, and so God will be using angels, and all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles will be happening during that time. You remember all the strange things that were happening at Christ's birth, how that all the angels were seen. They were the host of heaven, and they were singing, and they appeared to people. But according to Colossians chapter 2, you don't see angels now. If you do, they're wicked angels. Okay? They're out there. They're still angels there, but they don't appear to people now. And if they do, they're a wicked angel. Okay? Now that's Bible. And people said, well, I saw this. I'm not saying you didn't see it. But if you, at that moment you saw it, you thought it was an angel, it wasn't one of God's angels. Uh-uh. That wasn't a holy angel. It was a wicked angel. And Colossians 2 says that you don't see them now. Why? Because we have a completed book. We want to know something. We don't depend on angels. We depend on the book to teach us. So what does the devil do? Mess up the book. Right? So anyway. So now notice in verse 6 that he's preaching an everlasting gospel that will be preached during this time. Now, here it is. Look at verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, you know, I mean, all the world's hearing this thing, fear God and give glory to him. That is the everlasting gospel. Now, what's our gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And there ain't no angel going around tooting it and all over the world. But this is what this angel is saying. Fear God. Now see, we're to do this after we get saved, right? Fear God, that's what we preached on this morning, and give him the glory. We do that after salvation. They do it for salvation. So say this angel flying around with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Man. Now think about that. So you know when this is getting ready to happen. what is the judgment that he's talking about? The second coming of Christ, the battle of Armageddon. And so he says, for the hour of his judgment is come. And now, not only that, fear God and give him glory and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of earth. So we got to fear God, give him the glory, and worship him. We can't do that till after we get saved. They are to do it to get saved. This is what this angel is flying all over the world. And you got to remember what's going on. There is all kind of demons and devils and beasts and things that are happening on this earth. You remember the things with the stingers in them, and the head of scorpions and tail of scorpions and head like lions, and all them things are running, and millions upon millions of millions of people are getting killed at all the time. And this angel's flying through the air preaching this thing, and it's called the everlasting gospel. Why? Because it is going to be the last gospel that's ever preached before the judgment comes. Okay, and so that's what's going on. And a person now, because just what I said. Now let's read verse 7 again. And this angel saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of water." Did you know an evolutionist in the tribulation will be killed? He can't be saved. What? Do you see what it said there? You got to worship the one that created all this. If you're an evolutionist, you're just going to die. I don't care who you are. So an evolutionist will go to hell in the tribulation period. And again, verse 7, now notice that this angel is preaching judgment, and he's telling them to worship him that made heaven and earth. So during this time, you have to believe that He did. You have to fear Him, give Him the glory, and you have to believe that He made the heaven and the earth. That to accept the everlasting gospel, or you're going to go to hell. So, man, God just fixed it for. He's going to show the evolutionists. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And go ahead and believe what you want, but buddy, you better believe, or you're going to go to hell. And that has nothing to do with us. Why? Ours is the death, burial, and resurrection. We're up in heaven. You say, will we be seeing this stuff? I think we probably will. Yep, I think we'll be seeing a lot of it going on. I really do. It's going to be weird, but okay. So now let's say that you're saved here today. Is that what you have to believe to get saved? No. No, listen to this. Let me just read out of 1 Corinthians, just to show you the point that there's a difference there. And you know the strange thing? Two things that are different are not the same. You understand how many people don't get that? Now, we've seen what they had to believe. Listen to what, this is 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 1, and this is a Pauline epistles. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherewith ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." That is our gospel, and that's what you have to do to get saved today. Nothing like over there. And so you can just see the difference there. And this is called the church age. "For by grace are you saved through faith." Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So according to this, salvation is by grace through faith, and that's a gift from God. All you can do for it is just receive it by faith. But boy, that's not what they're dealing with. They're dealing with something different. Now, you remember what it said in the book of James 2:26, "So faith without works is dead," also, okay? See, they're not the same thing. The book of James doesn't preach salvation by grace through faith. Why? It's the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Just showing the difference between the two Gospels, and people have to understand what's going on there, and it's called rightly dividing the word of truth. Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." See, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. We're not Jews. "If you have heard of the dispensation," now notice this, "and where was Paul imprisoned at?" He was in Rome during this time, which is Gentiles. And in verse 2, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to youward." So now notice that, "and how that by revelation." Now what book we in over there? The book of Revelation. Now what's that book about? God revealing the things that's going to happen in the tribulation. Well, how did Paul know about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection? It was revealed to him. And this is something, when God shows you something, you know what that is? That's a revelation. All it is revealing. "And so how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." In other words, this that God gave Paul was not known about in the Old Testament. You understand how many Baptists believe that they were saved in the Old Testament just like they are today? They couldn't have been. They didn't know nothing about the death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? And so, he said, "How but that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." And so, Paul says that the Lord Jesus revealed something to him that was a mystery. And it was in verse 4, it's a whereby when you read, what? About this mystery, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Again, see, this and simple fact of it is, a mystery is only a mystery to them that it hasn't been revealed to. Right? You watch a mystery movie. Now, if somebody's watched it before and saw what happened, it's not a mystery to them anymore. It's only a mystery to you. Well, it was a mystery to the world because it was given to Paul. And then what did Paul do? He went and he gave it to everybody else, to Timothy and all the other preachers, and that's how this thing all started for us. It was a revelation, and God showed him about the mystery of Christ, and look at verse 5, "which in other ages," what? Like in the Old Testament, "was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." What? Well, again, it's simply saying the Old Testament saints didn't have a clue about this thing. And so, now verse 6, "that the Gentiles," well now why did God give Paul this mystery about Jesus Christ that nobody else knew about? Because the Jews rejected Christ, right? And when they did, the last time in the book of Acts, God says, "Fine, I'm done with you. I'm done with you." And so he goes out and in the Gentiles, and he's taking a bride. And he's building a church. And this church will continue to grow until what? The fullness of the Gentiles, when we're taken up in the rapture. Okay? So that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You get all that? By the gospel. Now, what's the gospel that was revealed to Paul? It was the gospel of the grace of God. And it's just, that's what it is. Now then, we saw the same thing earlier. And in verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, what? Of the gospel, according to the gift of the grace of God, there it is again, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Now, you got Ephesians, back up one book to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. And see, all I want to make sure is you understand that what we're preaching about over in Revelation 14 is nothing like what we got. We won't be here. Praise God, all right? Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 6. Paul tells again. Now look, he says, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Notice verse 7, which is not another gospel. See, there's only one real gospel. Now, there's a lot of preaching and teaching during this age saying, well, you got to be baptized to be saved, you got to go do this to be saved, you got to belong to this church to be saved, and you got to do all this to be saved. And God says there's only one gospel. He only puts out one gospel at a time, and this gospel is by the grace of God. And so in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 1, is which not another, but there be some that trouble you. What? Preaching another gospel, telling you got to do this and got to do that to get saved, and would, pervert the gospel. Their gospel perverts, okay? And that's what he's talking about. You have to remember that angels that is preaching, remember in Revelation, the everlasting gospel? Well, here, now look what's going on. Think about this. That angel over in Revelation 14 that goes around, he never one time mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one time. He said you gotta fear God, you gotta give God the glory, but never once mentions Jesus Christ. You can't get saved today without that name. Okay? It's just a strange thing. And so verse 8 here in Galatians chapter 1, but though we are an angel from heaven, now remember, if you see an angel from heaven today, he's a perverted angel. And this is what Paul's saying, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, and let him be accursed. Then he turns right around and says it again. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man. So if any, you see any angel flying around, you know it's not of God. Or if some man starts preaching some other gospel, and we got them, but I think this man, he's talking about the Antichrist. But we have a lot of men preaching another gospel. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul knows that there'll be another gospel preached out in the tribulation, just like he knew that there was a different gospel preached in the Old Testament. He was a Jew. He knew all about it. And what was preached back there? The kingdom of heaven. And so that was another gospel. Let me show you another gospel. You can let go of Ephesians. Go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And let me ask you, at this point in Matthew chapter 3, has Jesus Christ died yet? No. So the gospel hasn't started. The New Testament hadn't started. Though we see it, it says Matthew, New Testament. No, it didn't start till chapter 28. So now look what gospel they're preaching. Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 2, or verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, what is the kingdom of heaven that he's talking about? We know the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And verse 2, he says, "Repent." But this says that that time is at hand or very close. And it was. Again, if the Jews would have received Jesus Christ as their Messiah, there would have been no church age, but Christ would have went to the cross, and then and the resurrection, and then the tribulation would have started, and everything was set up to it. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sick and all manner of diseases among the people." So Christ was even preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And this is when Christ will return and set up on his kingdom and throne and will rule with a rod of iron in the millennial reign. And we know that. And this is what Christ was preaching when he was on earth. Did you ever hear anybody say, "Well, I'm just going to preach what Christ did"? If you do, you're going to send people to hell, because Christ hadn't died yet. Christ preached about the kingdom of heaven to a bunch of Jews. And we preach the death, burial, and resurrection, which he gave to Paul to give to us. Okay? Why? Because Christ hadn't died yet. The New Testament hadn't started. The death, burial, and resurrection couldn't take place. So anyway, and we know that because of over in Hebrews 9:17, "For a testament," talking about the New Testament, "is of force after men are dead." At this point, had Christ died? No. So the testament didn't have nothing. "Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Who's the New Testament about? The testator, Jesus Christ. He hadn't died yet. Until he died, the New Testament church didn't start. At his death, it started. And so and we know that. So all right. Let's see, look at Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 5. Now, Matthew chapter 10, he went between 1 and verse 5, he went out and he selected all of his apostles, okay? And he named every one of them there. And but look at verse 5. "These 12, talking about the apostles, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not." Now notice that he commanded them not to go to the Gentiles. Who'd they go to? The Jews. He said, "Don't even go to a Samaritan." What's a Samaritan? It was a half-breed. A Gentile that married a Jewish woman, and they were half-breeds. And so Christ said, "Don't even go and preach to them." And so they weren't allowed to do that. "But go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." Verse 6, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," Jews. "And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now notice what the gospel that they were preaching there. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. And so you go through there, and what is that? Signs and wonders and miracles. Because why? They didn't have a Bible at that time to go find out what was going on. They needed angels to prove what was being preached, that it was right. And so, anyway, I think we're going to stop there. Yeah, well, because there's still a lot to go through on this. But anyway, that gives you an idea.